Hello, everybody. Stephanie Marshall, Kitsap County Pro Tem Hearing Examiner. We are back on the record for the appeal of an administrative decision granting a critical area buffer reduction for Arborwood Planned Residential Development, file 2202629. We are about to commence cross-examination of Dr. Cook. Ms. Liao, are you kicking off, or are we going to hear from Mr. Getches first?
I was going to ask if Mr. Getches wants to go, if he has some, if he'd be willing to go first.
I don't mind going first. I don't have that many anyway.
Okay.
All right. I guess the first question would be for Attorney Telegin. Just there was a reference to a page of the manual that discussed preferred time periods for making delineations, and I wonder if there's any way we can have a copy of that page of the manual, or at least know where to find it, because it probably has nuances to it that are not covered.
I'll get that to you.
Okay. All right. And Dr. Cook, and good afternoon, David Getches, Kitsap County Prosecutor's Office, on behalf of DCD. You've provided opinions in other cases before, that's correct? You mentioned that.
Yes, I have.
And in other cases where there have been disputes over the size or the presence of wetlands?
Yes.
And can you estimate, you don't have to give a number, but would it be, can you tell us more often, is it your position that there is a wetland when the presence of wetland is disputed?
It's gone both ways, actually. I've worked on both sides of the issue, both as a developer's consultant and as a citizens group consultant, and actually as a agency consultant. So in all three hats, I've worn all three hats in hearings.
For both whether the wetland is present and whether the wetland is bigger than what the other expert determined it would be.
Yeah.
You think it's pretty even, your history in terms of, and let's maybe narrow it to ones where there's an actual dispute, you know, where it goes to court or it goes to administrative hearing or something like that, in your mind, just narrowing it down to those.
I don't know. I do this often, so I'd have to actually review projects. I would say I can think of a lot of instances where I found there were no wetlands anymore. So
and the other expert thought that there were?
Yeah.
And it was litigated?
Yeah.
And you provided your opinion?
Yes.
And is that recently too, or just long ago when you're working on your ear?
I've been doing this for a couple of decades, so I they all kind of meld after a while. I do keep record of them now.
Okay.
I do a lot of this because I have a doctorate, and so I'm, you know, and I'm qualified, where a lot of consultants are not qualified, so that's why I'm asked to do expert witness often.
Like within the past 5 years, can you think of ones that have resulted in litigation where you've testified that the wetland was actually smaller than what the other expert said?
Yes. One in Madison Park 5 months ago in Seattle.
Okay, fair enough. And you mentioned a large number of delineations, somewhere around 2,500. You didn't do a delineation in this case though, right?
No, I did not.
Okay. And would you agree that you're more likely to get an accurate reading doing the delineation on those three criteria that we discussed or that you discussed than just the photos?
Oh, yes, I would agree.
Okay. And you talked about one of the reasons why there was a preference for certain times of year and better to do in the growing season was because of hydrophytic plants are more likely to be present in the growing season. Is that correct?
And hydrology may be lacking at certain times of the year. So yeah, those two criteria especially are the reason that there's an optimal time for doing delineations.
And during that optimal time, all three are likely to be accurate?
Yes.
And can you tell me one more time what time period that was?
It depends on where you are in the state, but in Kitsap County, it would be when the ground temperature is above 4 degrees centigrade. So that's probably right around the late March, early April timeframe, and then would stop late September, early October, but again, depending on the year.
Okay. Wasn't the first data set dated March 2022, March something?
2022? Yes, and I stated we were right at the end of the winter, right at the beginning of the growing season. But the problem was that, yeah, but the problem is that the plants haven't started to grow yet. It's the beginning of the growing season.
No,
herbs especially won't have emerged from the ground yet.
And hydrophytic vegetation wasn't one of the missing factors, though. There, she actually, even if they wouldn't have grown yet, she found them there on that data sheet. It was actually present, so that's not a mark against her for not seeing plants at that time of year. She actually saw hydrophytic vegetation at that time of year. It was the hydric soils that were missing.
Yes, right. I don't disagree.
Okay, but
we were discussing the optimal times for doing delineations. This is a different issue.
And then I thought you actually mentioned something about optimal times for soils because of rhizospores.
That's during the growing season, yes.
So even though soils are the one of the three that's there forever, you know, or longer, decades, you know, the others are more temporary, likely to come and go, but not the soil. It's supposed to stay. And yet there's still a time of year that you have to go to look at the soils.
You're actually discussing hydrology indicator, and that's the oxidized rhizospheres. And that, again, also requires it during the growing season because it's vegetation mediated.
Okay, well,
hydrology indicator was
one of the ones she actually found present. It was the soils, the hydric soils she didn't find present, not hydrology. There were, I don't want to confuse you. You looked at a lot of different data sets, and there was at least one of them where she didn't mark the box for soils or hydrology. But for the first batch, she only didn't mark the box for soils, not for hydrology. That was the hydrology and plants were both checked on those first ones, right?
And I'm not sure what your point is.
That it wasn't, if the seasonality, if she was doing it the wrong time of year, was likely to lead to her not seeing the rhizospores because, and then therefore not checking the box for hydrology and not seeing the plants because it's not the growing season, therefore not checking the box for plants, then you would expect if you're going to criticize her for the time of year, it would be because she didn't check those two boxes, but she did. The one box she didn't check was the hydric soils.
She didn't check any indicators for hydrology either. And she is so, and that's the oxidized rhizospheres. And she said she didn't see them because, and that would be because it was too early in the season to find them. That was my point.
Okay, let me just make sure I'm not reading this wrong. And it's possible I am, as you said, very large record, not much time. But let me pull it up, this data sheet, if I can find it. Give me 1 second. Okay. And that's not, hang on a second. That's not it. Stop share. Are you seeing a screen right now?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not what I'm trying to pull up. Okay, well, I might just have to not share that, unfortunately. Maybe we'll come back to it. You mentioned the 14-year drought. Is there some point at which you just say, okay, it's drier now? Or do you always say, well, some point in the drought. Future, maybe I go back to the... I thought you said 14.
No, 4 years. We showed the rainfall, the average rainfall graph. I'm not sure what exhibit that is. Mr. Telligen would know.
Okay.
But it's been very dry the last 4 years. And if you look at climate estimates, summers are supposed to be drier, but winters are actually supposed to projected to be wetter. So I'm not sure, you know, the average between the winter more water and the summer less water, it might even itself out if you're looking at an average.
Well, even you had mentioned that with Q2, that one, you know, maybe that isn't a wetland anymore. Is that correct?
No, I said that particular sampling point may not be wet anymore. So the wetland boundary may be a little different, but there were other points in both Q1 and Q2 that were still wetland. In what Radicke had identified as Q1, Q2 that were still clearly wetland.
Okay. Let me this extra aired share screen. If this doesn't work, then I'll turn you over to Ms. Liao. Share screen. That is not it. That is not the one I'm trying to share. It's
doing that. Do you have an exhibit number that I could maybe pull up for you?
Well, it's PDF 1000.
Let's see if this is it.
That should be the start of test pit one data sheet is PDF 1000. And I think that's the first one. I think you go above that and then you're into photos.
Is it this? Are we in F18 or no?
No, we're in the right place. So okay. Here I'm just looking at summary of findings and looking at which box is a no. And hydric soil is not present, but the other two are. And as you scroll down, it's like that from, you know, you'll go to another couple of pages, like to other pages below this. It's just a bunch of data sheets, but you get to the next one that has that same section, this one, and it's the same. And then you scroll down even more. And they're all like that until you get to one that, oh, what was that one? Okay, no, that was different. That wasn't the same section. This is the same section right here. And see, it's another one where you got yes for hydrology and plants, and you've got no for soil, hydric soil. And that's what I was referring to. There was, if you go down far enough, there is one that has a no for both hydrology and soils. But for most of those, she was finding both hydrology and plants, both of those factors. But that's the only point. If there was something you wanted, I don't want to testify for you. If there was something you wanted to clarify, I'm fine with that. If I'm misinterpreting it.
Yeah, for the indicators for soils, they actually are in some of them are in the hydrology indicator group, and such as the oxidized rhizosphere, they actually reflect the soils or the features of the soils that we use. So they're not all just in the soil section. So you can call a hydrology in, but that doesn't mean you're there at the optimal time to see all the indicators, is the point I was making.
Okay. And then with optimal time, it may be a preference, but do you consider it an actual requirement for it to, like, you are required to do it, or it's aspirational?
It's not a requirement. It's just the agencies prefer that you do it. And the Corps, over the years, has actually deferred decisions until somebody could go back out during the growing season. And I will tell you personally, I've been stuck many a time when a client has asked me to go out during the winter, and I fought them and they insisted because of permits, et cetera. And I went out and it later bit me in the proverbial bottom, because I would go out during the growing season and my line would be halfway between the upland and the wetland. There'd be wetland on the other side because a skunk cabbage will have grown that wasn't present when I was out there, et cetera. So I adamantly refuse. And if somebody hires someone else who says they'll go out during that time, I lose the job. But I actually don't take jobs specifically because I don't think it's scientifically appropriate.
Okay. Nothing else for this witness.
Sorry, hold on just a minute. Okay. Dr. Cook, I'd actually like to follow up with a question because I'm still a little confused. So just building off of what Mr. Geshes was asking you about. So, just ask you this. So in your opinion, does the time of year that you are conducting the an on-site assessment make a difference relative to the soil determination, the hydric soil determination?
It makes a difference on all three criteria.
Just soils. I'm just asking about soils right now.
There are indicators for soils that you need to be out during the growing season for. And the example I gave was the oxidized rhizospheres. Yes.
And I'm here. I'll share this because I know that I've been asked to do that before. So this is the oxidized rhizospheres with living roots that you're describing. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's showing up in the wetland hydrology indicators. Is that right?
Yes. And but it's often used as a soil indicator.
And it's not showing up in the hydric soils indicator of the same wetland rating form, because that's actually what I was looking for and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's in the hydrology indicators.
I see. Okay. But you're saying that you check it down here if it's there and it would go up here. Is there anything else other than this this oxidized rhizosphere that you think that not being there at the optimal growing season time might indicate?
Stunted or stressed plants, indicator D1. Drainage patterns, B10. Dry season water table, C2. Yeah, there's quite a few. Drift deposits.
But these all pertain to hydrology. I'm speaking
In the soils? As I'm telling you, the oxidized rhizospheres is most often used as a soil indicator. Even if it's in the hydrology section, we most often report oxidized rhizospheres when we're talking about the soils. That's probably the most important one.
Why wouldn't they put it in the form under that category then?
Because they're soil scientists. Most important. They're not botanists, they're soil scientists.
Because the I don't know who creates this from the Army Corps, because you're saying the Army Corps are scientists and they're not botanists.
The NRCS has come up with these indicators, and they're although oxidized rhizospheres is in the indicator manual, But yeah, they, I don't know why they chose to put it there. I wouldn't have. I would have put it in the soil section, but.
I see. So that's the only indicator that has the seasonal relationship. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep going around. I'm just trying to make it clarity on this.
With respect to soil, well, no, as I just gave a few others, but from a purely soil perspective, that's probably the most important one and the one that we look at most often.
I see. That's the one that you look at more often. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned, is it your opinion that March 26 was too early in the growing season for having done an on-site evaluation of Q1, Q2, and 302?
If you're hoping that you're going to evaluate the plants, yes. And also the whether or not there are oxidized rhizospheres, yes.
I see. And when would that time have been, in your opinion?
A month or two later, month to 6 weeks.
Just for that in particular indicator. So you could, you do need to go out a month or two later to determine definitively if that indicator was there, in your opinion. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because most of the oxidized rhizospheres that we look at are from the herbaceous material because they're this year's growth, and the herbs won't have grown yet by that March 24th. They really are present much, you know, April showers bring May flowers. They really are much more often present late April, early May.
So you earlier mentioned that the optimal time to do wetland assessments is April, May, June. Are you caveating that even more, that it just should happen in late April to May?
And no.
That's it? No?
No, okay. I'm just saying if she was going to go out, it would have been better to delay it a month to 2 months, you know, month, 6 weeks, 2 months more.
Just to rule out the lack of presence of that one indicator, right?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned, let me see if I can find those photos that you were looking at earlier. Forgive me if I didn't get the exact right photo that you were looking at earlier. But this is that same exhibit, I believe, that you were being shown these photos. Does this look familiar to what Mr. Telligen was at the outset of your testimony was asking you to look at?
Yes.
Okay. I believe you mentioned that these look like hydric soils too. Is that correct?
Yes, from the photo.
Okay. And are you able to determine the presence of hydric soils just based on visual observation?
No.
No. Okay. Your observation and looking at these photos is that these are hydric soils are based on what?
Color.
So the color that you're seeing in this photo?
Yes.
Okay. And are you able to distinguish on this photo the soils from the vegetation on the ground, like the leaves and any other vegetative materials that we're just seeing in these photos?
Well, obviously it's in the areas where there aren't any leaves.
Okay, and you can tell that from this photo that the areas yes. that don't have leaves?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And okay. I have a question though. Earlier you I've got to get this right. Give me a second. You were speaking to redox features. Am I saying that right? You were talking about various percentage of redox features that you need to observe in the color observation of these wetlands.
If you pull up the data sheet again, I can show sure. you exactly what I was referring to.
If I can figure out what page number, I'll just scroll through. That's about the only way I'm going to be able to do this. Okay.
Yes.
So is it one okay, of these?
Go to the soil section. Okay. Can sure. you see where it says hydric soil indicators? And so all of those things there are redox features.
Okay. Redox features. Okay.
And then if you look down on the hydrology, it talks about oxidized rhizospheres. That's also a redox feature.
Sure. So you were speaking to percentage, is it a percentage indication, 5% indication versus 1% indication to determine whether or not hydric soils are present? Can you explain that again?
So do you see where it says redox features in the middle of the top where it says depth matrix redox features?
Depth matrix redox feature, yes.
Okay, so when it gives a depth 0 to 4 inches, gives mm-hmm. the color and then gives a percentage, and then it says color moist and then percentage, they're talking about the inclusion of those rusty oxidized iron concentrations. They've been called models. That's what we used to call them. We don't anymore. So if there's a color, like in this one between 4 and 16 inches where it says 5YR34, mm-hmm. and then it says 1%, mm-hmm. there are those oxidized rusty inclusions in that layer. And she's saying it's at 1% with 99% being the matrix color of 10YR32. So there's 1%. And as I explained, the human eye can't detect 1%. So there's likely 5% of little rusty inclusions that are the color 5YR34 in the whole soil matrix. That's what the redox feature is talking about.
What is the percentage that you need to reach in order to be considered, is it a hydric soil? Is that if you hit a certain percentage, you're determined to be a hydric soil based on the color?
The color and the presence of other redox features, yes. So the definition of the particular indicator F6 that I was talking about says that if you have a chroma of 1, which is that number after the slash, that is a wetland soil. Or if you have a chroma of 2, you have to have at least 5% of those, the concentrations.
Got it. And you do not think you can observe 1% with this naked eye, is that right?
No, and I read.
And so you said that a 1% would automatically must be a 5%.
It's likely 5, yes.
Do you think that you can visually tell anything less than 5%?
No, I don't. I actually, we did in the class that I took, they actually had us try and we couldn't.
So really, in your opinion, then any soil that has a certain type of chroma for which you then you need to look at the percentage of the redox features, there's no way for it not to at least be 5%, which would mean that in every situation, it must meet the criteria for then being kicked over into the hydric soil category. Is that right?
If it's the chroma of 2 and it has that many redox concentrations, yes, by definition.
Right. So that chroma, no one would be ever, if you've got that chroma, a person would, it would always be put into the category of a hydric soil because no one would be able to visually determine less than 5% is what
likely
you're saying.
Likely not, no. Because it's just too dark. That chroma, the soil is very dark, and it's dark because of organic acids, and the organic acids stain the iron concretions, so they're not bright orange, and so they're not as visible.
Why bother asking about the percentage then for those particular chroma?
Because it's part of what we evaluate. Because it really is pertaining to that particular indicator. So you look at the percentage for, you know, both for that indicator and just for classifying the soils. And there's all these other indicators that have different percentages and different chromas.
Okay. How does this inability to determine chroma presence at this level relate to your ability to determine the presence of hydric soil based on the reviewing that photo we were looking at earlier, given the level of sensitivity you're describing here about certain color observations? I can go back to that photo. Where is that? 994. So you were you were suggesting that you're able to tell this is hydric soils based on your observations of this photo. How does that relate to the inability to look at certain color profiles for certain profiles at a certain percentage?
You mean how? I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your question. You mean?
Yeah, and I may not be understanding what you're saying as well, because it sounds like there's a level of precision when you've got a certain chroma of soils that that you know you can't detect certain amounts less than 5% with a naked eye. That's what you've been talking about, and I might be talking about two different things, but I am just curious because it seems quite surprising to me that based on just viewing this photo of this soil, you can say that looks like a hydric soil to me based on its color.
You're mixing two different things. I said that from her data sheets, she interpreted them incorrectly. And that is separate from me saying from looking at a photograph that I'm still seeing very dark soils that are likely a chroma of 2. And that I think there's likely, and there's still vegetation, and that I think there's likely still wetlands present. And so those are two different things. I then added to that, that I felt that the fact that Radke found wetlands across all of those years, and suddenly in 2022, there are no wetlands, that I felt the county needed to not just accept what was found during a suboptimal time and make sure there's a tiebreaker and have someone go out during the growing season in a year that's much more normal for rainfall and break the tie on whether or not there are actually wetlands there. I'm not saying there's definitely wetlands. I'm just saying I didn't feel that the county did the due diligence that they needed to do by just accepting a single point in time during a suboptimal time of the year after previous record shows that there were wetlands there.
So I want to go back to a few things that you just laid out there. First, so I believe you made the point that that this was a suboptimal time of year, and that in relationship to there being a lack of hydrology based on these tables, these water tables that Mr. Telligen was showing you. Did I correctly say that? What you just characterized?
Say it one more time.
That the sorry, I need some lunch. You made a statement that related the time of year and a snapshot of the observations made by Ms. Bartlett, and you related that to the this being a, I'll just for lack of a better term use the word drought year, series of drought years, that this wasn't a great time to make these observations. Again, was that from a soils perspective or from a hydrology and a vegetation perspective?
The drought appears to be more reflected in the lack of finding hydrology, which I would have expected to be present at that time of year and was present during the previous timeframes when Radke went out.
That just pertains to hydrology, not the soil.
Not the soils per se, but the vegetation will not have emerged yet. So even though that she found the vegetation,
how does that relate to the drought years? Because that was where I was starting from. Is you made a relationship between lack of hydrology for several years and the time of year she went out to the soils. And I'm not able to make that link here. And I want to be really clear. Are you making a link between the drought years, I'll just call them, and the soil conditions?
I was mentioning that it was mm-hmm. related to her not finding soil, a standing water in the soil column for the Q2 wetland sampling stations that Mr. Telligen identified. And I believe it was, let's see, it would have been PT9 or TP9, TP10, TP12, and TP13. Hydrology was missing in that, and I was guessing that the reason that was because of the 4-year drought.
Understood. But you and I were just talking about soils, and you made right. this statement back to the time of years. And so that's not really relevant to the soil determination, the drought years, and except for this oxidized rhizopheres time of year wouldn't be relevant otherwise as well to the soil.
The oxidized rhizospheres, which is after the color, the next feature that we, that as a wetland delineator in the Pacific Northwest we look for, would not have been present that early in the growing season. That's why it's suboptimal. And that oxidized rhizosphere, even if they put it in the hydrology indicators column, it really is used here as a soil indicator.
How is that statement related to the drought years?
Because for wetland Q2, she said it wasn't wetland because the hydrology was missing.
Right. No, that's, you and I were talking about soils, and you brought up this whole piece about those drought years not being optimal. I'm not hearing you make a connection between the drought years and the soil determination she made. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Combining
that's all I'm trying issues. To get at. Yeah. Sorry. I don't mean to be
different issues.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, there was another statement you had made there that I was hoping to go back to, but I'm not going to be able to. Give me just a moment. So moving on from soils for the moment. In connection to that table, let me actually pull that up. What is that? That is A12.
I don't have anything showing.
I know, I'm not as quick as Mr. Telligen, so give me just a moment here. Okay, so just so that you don't have to remember what we were talking about. So you had identified, remind me again, what years were the years of concern for you?
2018 through 2022, when they went out. So Radicchio went out in 2018, which still had decent rainfall, but 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022 were substandard, especially by March, were substandard for rainfall. So the shallow groundwater could easily have been much lower than usual.
Mm-hmm. Sure, got it. And this is showing a precipitation deviation of some, I don't know, is this a percentage or inches? Inches, a deviation in the number of inches based on an annual median precipitation. So that's the fluctuations from what it had been over the median years. Is that correct?
Correct. That's my understanding. Yes.
Okay. Given that these are years of concerns, you spoke to the lack of hydrology is what you think that those years potentially attribute to. Is that correct?
For the data points in the area identified by Radicchio as wetland Q2.
Mm-hmm.
So the data points that ELS took, Ms. Bartlett took, there is the hydrology indicator was missing.
And so, yeah, okay.
A bunch of the data points. And that's why she said, she also said the soils were missing, but the hydrology was also missing.
Would that have also impacted the vegetation that was present if there was that much of a change in the hydrology based on the change of precipitation in those years? Would that have impacted the hydrology as well? I'm sorry,
it
not
could
the hydrology,
have, yes.
The vegetation.
It could have, yes.
It could have. But was there vegetation present in those test pits? Yes. I apologize. I just don't know. There was. Okay.
Yes, there is. But they're all facultative species, which tolerate a broad range of water availability.
Okay. You mentioned you've been very transparent. You've mentioned that you're making this analysis not based on on-site determinations. You're reviewing the reports that others have done on the site, correct?
Correct.
So to some extent, this is theoretical just based on your experience and based on reviewing forms as opposed to looking at the site itself, except for those photos. Is that correct?
Well, the analysis of the data sheets is just identifying that the documentation of what was found in the field wasn't correctly documented in terms of the indicators. My opining on whether or not a photo looks like it contains wetlands was just based on my looking at the photos. It had no ground truthing whatsoever.
So you're just reviewing her materials and what she documented, and you're theorizing some inaccuracies in terms of the conclusion she made based on your just review of the data. Is that right?
No, I'm not theorizing. It's based solely on her documentation on the data sheets. She incorrectly documented whether or not wetlands were, or the soils were hydric or not, based on her own data. That's a different thing. So I'm not theorizing. I'm just saying she didn't record the information correctly, or she recorded what she found, but she didn't make the analysis correctly.
She recorded what she found, and you disagreed with the conclusions she reached based on the data that's in the forms.
It's a different, no, I'm saying that she didn't identify, she didn't record, her analysis was incomplete. She documented what she found, but her analysis was not accurate. She basically, there's a contradiction on her data sheets. She says something's present and then says it's not present when it comes to deciding whether or not it was, the soil was hydric or not, wetland or not.
And obviously that, and I apologize, I was taking various copious notes, but it's hard because I'm just going on your oral testimony here. So it's what you're saying is that based on your review of the information she put down, the conclusions she reached were incorrect.
Yes, for soils. Yes.
And that's just based on your review of the data sheets, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. You mentioned that on-site considerations can potentially be relevant to making wetland determinations, like localized site conditions. I'll be more specific. You said something about logging, that logging could have an impact, but that happened, to the extent it happened on the site, it happened way long ago. Is that right?
And quite far, a far distance away. Okay. Yes.
When you say way long ago, what are you talking about?
Decades. Somebody yesterday in their testimony showed an aerial photograph showing logging and stated that was the reason why the drainage, it was affected, etc., and why there were no longer wetlands. And it's like, that's an aerial photograph from decades ago, and it's so far away that it would not have impacted the presence or absence of wetlands.
So if there had been clear cutting on the site, say in the last 5 or 6 years, might that make a difference?
Yeah, it could, but there hasn't been. I've seen recent aerial photographs. Yes, I looked at recent aerial photographs. There has not been.
Okay, but if there had been, that could make a difference, correct?
If it was close enough, yes, it could have made a difference.
Okay, thank you.
It's 5 minutes till my meeting, and I just got an email, and can I just check it quickly? Because they may have canceled my meeting, in which case I can go on.
Of course.
What's today? Is today the 14th? Yeah. Okay, they did. They canceled my Zoom meeting. So I can go on.
Okay, well, and I only have one more question for you, yeah. Which is great because after redirect, I'm so ready to have some lunch. My question for you has to do with the last bit of testimony that you provided on wetland P2. Let me see if I can find that exhibit since I don't have to worry about you rushing off to a meeting.
Nope.
Let's see. That was exhibit. Is it R5, I think? No, let's see. Hold on just a moment. Yes, okay, let me pull that up. Back to that photo. Okay, here we go. I'll share this because it's helpful to speak from. Okay, so this, photo here. Let me see really quick, grab my notes. So you provided some testimony with regards to, maybe is this the right one? Well, this will work. I apologize if I've got the wrong one. But you provided some testimony about the historic nature of these wetlands. And you theorized that that these would have should have been, potentially could have been one wetland based on the flow of water from the culvert from one to the other. Is that correct?
Culvert's a recent thing. Historic wetlands are pre-culvert.
Okay, got it. Are you aware of the directional? So that would have been a historic. So there's no flow going on now, but are you saying that historic?
Oh, I don't know that. Okay. I don't know that there's no flow going on now. That's why Mr. Telligen asked me if we wanted to see if there was flow going through that culvert, how I would.
I see. So my question to you would be, would there be any relevance to the directional flow historically of that culvert had it existed in terms of that determination?
Not if it was a contiguous wetland but I don't think you need to be an expert in aerial photo interpretation to see that there's been an artificial lopping of that lobe off of what clearly was connected to that lobe just from this figure. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but the definition, if there was not contiguous wetland surrounding that culvert and there was not by reflecting in the soils and the vegetation, and there is then by the rating method, you would rate them separately, but that's not what's going on here. That's not the argument that's being put forward at the moment. The argument is that it is still part of the P2 is still part of L1, L2, even though there is a culvert. And that's reflected in the fact that there's still flow around the culvert and I assume through the culvert, but I don't know that for sure. That should be assessed. And the fact that wetland vegetation is re-emerging up through the old skid trail and re-establishing itself.
That's under current conditions?
Under current conditions.
Do you know, is that flow of water between the two wetlands unidirectional or bidirectional?
That's a moot point given that it's that the Mr. Lubisher saw in the field that there is wetland contiguous between P2 and L1. That's not a question that you need to ask. It's only a question if there was not contiguous wetland and the P2 has in fact been separated effectively from L1, L2.
Okay, I got to break down what you just said there. You said that Mr. Lubisher identified there was wetland between P2 and L1. Is that what you just said?
Yes, it's contiguous. The two are joined still to this day.
And how did Mr. Lubischer determine that there was wetland between the two, between P2 and L1, that it was a wetland?
I believe you also heard his testimony, but what I heard from his testimony was that when he was out there, he evaluated the old skid road and found that the wetland plants were reestablishing and that he saw wetland vegetation, wetland soils contiguous from that very artificial blunt edge of P2 and L1. And that the soils were contiguous, the vegetation is contiguous, and even though there is a culvert across that's 20 feet across, not 5, that the road didn't effectively stop that wetland, that P2, from still being a part of L1, L2.
So you're basing your statement that Mr. Lubischer observed as a wetland based on his oral testimony of the vegetation that he identified when he was on the site without permission of the property owner and his oral observations of the soil that we heard in testimony. That's what your conclusion is based on.
There's a lot to break down there. One, everyone believes that the area is opened for going out. Two, he took photographs while he was out, and I was able to see those photographs of that entire area, both on the ground and looking back and forth between the two areas. And so I could see the vegetation is back and it's contiguous. I could see the soils are very dark on either side of the culvert. I could see that the berm that was identified by ELS is actually just vegetation growing over the culvert, and that the culvert is sitting naked on top of the soil, partially buried, but not really. So I could visually see what he testified to. So my testimony is based on seeing the photographs and as well as what his testimony was.
I am going to ask that those photographs be admitted into evidence, given that the witness is providing testimony and reaching conclusions based on those photos.
Okay. I presume that Mr. Telegen would have a number, or maybe he does not have that listed as an exhibit. Proposed exhibit. Mr. Telegen?
Probably at the lunch break, I can probably gather them up. I don't have them collected right now.
Okay. All right. We'll circle back to that after lunch.
Sorry. And we kind of went on a tangent on what I had been asking about, but it was important to break down respectively what each of us are saying here. Give me a moment. I want to go back to my original question I was trying to get at. I'm looking at my notes for Mr. Lubischer. That is the problem. Give me just a moment. I see. So, based on your observations, you believe that the indicators are present in between these two wetlands to indicate that this old logging road is, that area is also a wetland. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you're giving it more credit than it deserves. It's not even obvious that there is a skid trail there any longer if you look at the photographs.
Okay, so my question to you is, you're asserting that this area identified on the map as existing historic logging road, that should be determined to be a wetland.
Yes.
Okay.
That it's contiguous, not a separate wetland, that it's contiguous between P2 and L1, L2.
And this is based on the photos and the testimony of Mr. Lubischer, and that's what you're making that determination on, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. No further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Liao. Any redirect from Mr. Telegen?
Yeah. Oh, see you. Yeah. Ms. Liao asked you, the drought could affect wetland vegetation. You said yes, but then she said, but there was wetland vegetation. A drought couldn't affect vegetation without completely eliminating it, right?
Yes.
So oxidized rhizospheres. Suppose I'm one of your, I'm an employee of you, of yours, right? You run a wetland delineation, wetland rating company, and you hire me as your novice wetland delineator. You send me out in the field, and I come back to you and I say, oh, gee whiz, I found a ton of oxidized rhizospheres, but I found no hydric soils. What would you tell me?
It's not possible.
Okay, but hold on.
It's highly unlikely that that would happen.
Right.
Because you have to have standing water in the soil profile for the oxidized rhizospheres to form. And so the soil, yeah, no, it's not a situation that could easily occur.
Okay, so fair enough. So if I said that to you and I was your novice wetland delineator, you'd say, novice wetland delineator, I got something to teach you. That's just highly, highly unlikely to occur, right? Now, suppose I was your novice wetland delineator and I said, hey, I have two old wetland studies and they both found wetlands in this area. But I went out there and I didn't find any wetlands. Would it be a natural question for you to ask to say, well, did you look for oxidized rhizospheres?
Yes.
Right. I might say, well, why is that? And how would you then explain to me? You'd say, well, oxidized rhizospheres are kind of an important indicator. And, you know, as a tiebreaker, if they're there, it's probably a wetland, right?
If they're there in newly growing roots, which are the really tiny ones that on the inside are cream colored, yes.
Right. So oxidized rhizospheres are important.
Right.
And
very important.
Breaking a tie between two qualified experts' opinions, one of which says, hey, there's wetlands here, and one says, hey, there's not, kind of an important thing to go out there and look for.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ms. Bartlett did say that she looked for them yesterday.
Fair point.
But again, she was out very early in the growing season and they likely weren't present yet.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying that we need to evaluate these areas later than she was out.
Right. So if I was your novice wetland delineator and I came to you with the two studies and I said, well, I need to figure out what the truth is. And you were to say, did you look for oxidized rhizospheres? And I said, yes, I did. I nailed it. I got that one right. You would then say, well, wait, when did you go out there? And I said, oh, I went out there end of March. You might say, what? Maybe you should go back?
Yes.
Maybe you should go back out when things are growing a little more and see if there are oxidized rhizospheres. Because again, it's an important thing. It's a good way to figure out what the truth is, right?
Yep. And again, I would have said to the client, I'm sorry, we can't go out until mid-April or the end of April, which I do all the time when they say, I need you out here now. And I say, I can't do that because I'll still have to go out again and you'll have to pay me for two site visits.
Right. I'm going to show you my screen again. This is one of Ms. Bartlett's data sheets. This one is TP4, which is in wetland Q1. This number after the slash, is that that's the chroma?
Yes.
And that's a one. So what does that mean?
That means that it's the very darkest and that it's absolutely, that soil has absolutely formed under constant saturation or constant standing water. So there is no oxygen left in the soil profile. There's likely no sulfur dioxide left in the soil profile. And it's a continuous redox or reduced environment.
Okay, so is that a fancy way of saying it's a hydric soil?
It's absolutely a hydric soil.
Okay, absolutely a hydric soil.
Yeah.
TP4, she marked, nope, not a hydric soil.
Yep, not correct.
Okay. Now there's the issue of the chroma of 2, and that's a little more complicated, right?
Right.
And you have a chroma of 2.
Yep.
So I'm going to show you two examples, sort of one after the other. This is test pit 8, which is also in wetland Q1. We have these soils with chromas of 2. There are no percentage of redox filled in, right?
Right.
And what was the rule with percentage of redox?
5%.
5%. So if it's a chroma of 2 plus 5% redox, right, that's a hydric soil.
No. Then with no, with a chroma of 2 and no other redoxomorphic features, it's likely not a hydric soil. But then
I'm not asking about this particular one. I wasn't saying this was
with a chroma of 2, you have to have other redoxomorphic features.
Exactly. Right. So this one does not have those other redoxomorphic features, correct?
Not that she documented.
Correct. Okay. Now I bring this up because Ms. Liao was asking you, well, if the human eye can't differentiate between 1 and 5% redoxomorphic features, I got the impression she was leading you up to a position to say anytime you had a number 2, you automatically have a hydric soil. And this is to illustrate that's not true, right?
Yes, that's not true. You have to have other.
That's not true. But if we go down to test pit 13, we have a chroma of 2 and a percentage of 1, correct?
Correct.
And your point is that because the human eye cannot differentiate between 1 and 5, if you see anything in that column, it's likely automatically 5.
Automatically 5 for the two reasons I gave. One is that when you have a chroma of 2, the soils are quite dark, and that dark organic staining often stains a lot of the bright orange rusty concentrations. And two, because even the ones that are bright orange, you can't necessarily that you won't be able to detect just 1%. And what you're detecting is likely 5%. So there's two reasons why that's likely an underestimate.
Right. And so is this a wetland soil?
Yes. I would say likely it is, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
For the two reasons I gave.
Yes.
And those are technical reasons, and I can pull them out of the manual for you, which I read it earlier, but if the hearing examiner would like those citations, I can supply them.
Let me just look. Let me see here. One more. I don't think I have it up on my screen. No, I can't find it. I'm sorry. That's the end of my questions. Thank you so much, Dr. Cook.
I actually have one follow-up question just pertaining to the line of questioning that was just occurred.
I'm all right with it. Is there any objection from you, Mr. Telegin?
No.
Okay.
Dr. Cook, I'm learning as I go, so bear with me here. So, and I apologize, I know we've spent a lot of time on oxidized rhizospheres. So as Mr. Telegin just walked you through, I understand that for a chroma of 1, it's your position that would take you to the hydric soil category. For a chroma of 2, you have to have other redoxomorphic features such as the oxidized rhizospheres, plus then look at this percentage of redox. Am I tracking that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So the testimony that you've been providing around the time of year that assessment was done, that the lack of oxidized rhizospheres is a significant problem. Spent a lot of time talking about that just a moment ago. So let's say this April, late April, someone was to go back out there and determine whether or not there was oxidized rhizospheres, all things being equal, all the other factors in the rating sheet having been unchanged. Should that end the story on the hydric soils characteristics, at least to the extent that that box wasn't checked?
Well, you need to
make sure they're sampling in an area where there's vegetation so that the oxidized rhizospheres are present. And there's a lot of bare areas in that area. So you need to make sure that they're sampling not in a section that doesn't have any vegetation. But no, if there's no oxidized rhizospheres and everything else is equal, it likely would not, that one sample plot would not be wetland.
So this whole tiebreaker component that Mr. Talgen was speaking to, that's really the only tiebreaker here with respect to that aspect of why previously hydric soils versus non-hydric soils or hydric soils being found by Radicke back in 2007 versus Ms. Bartlett's most recent determination that they were not hydric soils. That's really the tiebreaker that he's alluding to that needs to occur, is the presence of these oxidized rhizospheres.
I would also bring up one other thing, and that is having a neutral third party go out and sample in areas that are clearly likely wetland on the ground is also necessary when there's no vested interest one way or the other as to where you sample, but you're sampling where you think there might be wetland because you're seeing reasons on the ground why there might be wetland, vegetation and dark soils, etc. So
what do you mean
you can't just sample anywhere you want. You need to sample in areas that are likely wetland. So that's a qualifier I would add to all of this, because when there's a vested interest as to where you're going to document your points, then I don't think I need to say any more because I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
No, actually, I'd like you to elaborate on that. Are you saying that you, like, for example, the project proponent wouldn't be able to hire their own consultant to make this determination?
Exactly.
So you're saying
cannot do that. You need a neutral third party, which the county often hires. They're called third party reviewers. And you need to have somebody who, it's not in the best interest of their client to either find wetlands or not find wetlands.
Understood. No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Telgen, one more shot for you. Yes? No?
No, I think that was a good ending point.
All right.
I would like the opportunity after having reviewed those photos to recall Dr. Cook if we determine that we want to ask some questions about those photos.
Yes.
And I am now available. So,
yay. Okay, everyone, we will be taking an hour. Is that the request? We would like a full hour. Yes, and I concur. So it's 2:19. We can come back at 3:20. I have a question for Mr. Telgen. Do you have additional witnesses? Yesterday, before you called Mr. Lubisher, you said you had two more to go. So are you calling additional witnesses? I'm just trying to kind of plan the rest of the day.
I just have five more. No, just joking.
Well,
I have no more.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so when we reconvene, hopefully we'll have those exhibits. And if we, Ms. Liao would like to ask Dr. Cook a few more questions, and then
I'll need time to review those. I'm not going to be able to do that on the lunch hour. So, yeah,
understood.
Sorry.
Understood.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me. Okay, so let's go ahead and break. I will see everybody back in 1 hour, and thank you again for everybody's attention and patience, and see you shortly.
Hey, Ms. Walston, is there any way you can stay with me and I can test my screen share function and just see if I can get it resolved? And like, do you have like a minute or two or I can try that with you?
Sure.
Get off. Okay. All right, cool.